enable us to commence this evening with hymn 767. Gracious Spirit, Dove Divine, let thy light within me shine, all my guilty fears remove with atoning blood and love. 767.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. For thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred, the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. But let us pray. Almighty, most sovereign, most holy, eternal Lord God, it does us well to humble ourselves before thy face, and as we would tread the courts of thy house, where thy name is honoured, and where thou dwellest. O thou seest us as we come to thy house this night. Thou seest thy people afar off as they got up this morning, through the day, through the years of their life, before they were born, but now thou knowest them as living, approaching thee. And we would humble ourselves, desire to address the majesty of heaven. Lord, we are not our own. That is a mercy. Mercy, great mercy, if we're thine, to have been bought with a price. But, O Lord, my times, said David, are in thy hand. Do then help us to come rightly with that awe upon our spirit, that fear and trembling as sinners, as we come into thy house. O Lord, open our eyes. Lord, it is painful to discover where we are at times, exceeding painful, but it is very necessary. But all we come to Zion's hill, we would see Jesus. We come before the great three-in-one, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, O sanctify us and wash us, O Lamb of God, in thy blood. Grant us a broken living heart, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, that will not despise. Grant we may be found here as living, breathing souls, breathing forth our desire, our prayer. Lord, and in mercy, breathing in thy words, receiving thy words. Oh, may we know those seasons wherein we have a little drink, a little sip of the living waters, even of thy precious blood. Oh, do favour us ere we die, and may we be found among those who in those lonely hours, alone, but not alone, before the feet of him who liveth forever, and may we be favoured to know that feast of fat things, that wines on the lees, that feast of fat things full of marrow, full of life, full of goodness, full of grace, full of love, full of power, and wines well refined upon the lees, well refined. O Lord, we do come before thee then, and we need to come confessing our sins, not just when we come to chapel, Lord, breathing it hourly. Open our eyes. O, we come before thee. Help us to humble ourselves. Lay passive, for into thy hands. Lord, we plead this night that thy word may go forth in power. Be honoured, glorified, exalted in our lives, in our hearts, even this evening hour, in this thy court, thy house, in Zion's hill. And may we worship, oh, for a little worship, a true worship, to receive grace, to receive the strength of the Redeemer. Not a natural strength, not a strength in religion, but the strength of him who has overcome for his people. O blessed Holy Ghost, be in our midst. O, do impart the strength and grace and power of the God-man, Christ Jesus. O, blessed Spirit, be in my life, sanctify me. A miracle thou dost still remain, a miracle thou dost dwell in the midst of Zion and in thy people's hearts and lives. It is by love, by sanctification, by washing, by cleansing only. Thou couldst not dwell otherwise. O, blessed Spirit, lead us to the dear Lamb of God. O, lead us, cause us to love him. Lead us to the mercy seat, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. We humbly pray. And may we truly forsake all that thou hatest. Lord, there's much of self to be crucified. O, may we be found adorned in thy righteousness. Lord, not just humble religious people. We don't want that. We may have the breath of heaven in our hearts and lives, in the midst of trial. Oh, we beg of thee, in the storm, we would see Jesus. In all the affliction, in all our sorrows, in all our cares, to know thou reignest. So we would come this evening hour, great God of heaven, before the throne, pleading the fullness, grace, merit of thine only beloved one. O Lord, who is one with thee, great God, and whom thou art one with. O, we would ask all things in his name and for his sake, and stand in awe. Do remember us then, each of us individually, in our great needs in life, in the journey. O, great God, have mercy. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. O, do draw near. Please come. Make us like a little child, for we cannot enter heaven except we become as little children, converted
and become as little children. O, may we breathe thy Spirit. O Lord, come, ravage our hearts, we do pray, with thy glimpse, with thy drawing power, with thy gospel, with the word in season, with thy word of promise. O Lord, wash us, cleanse us, we need it. We need washing, oh, we certainly do. O Lord, and cleanse us. Give us those little washings from heaven, which come from the great one complete washing. Or may the splashes of the Lamb of the sanctification of the Lamb of God be upon us. We earnestly pray. Remember this house of prayer. Remember the friends that gather here, the church, the congregation, and those gathered in at this time. Remember them in their pathway and where they reside and where they worship. Remember the deacons here holding office. Oh, do be with them, Lord. Guide them, bless them, help them. The church, keep them in all humility, in humbleness of mind and heart. Keep them tender, keep them needing thee. And keep us, all of us, from evil. It may not grieve us, from a restless spirit, from a hard heart, a lofty heart. Remember the congregation. Thou knowest every case here. Let thy work appear continually in this hill of Zion. Friends in senior years we pray for. Prepare them for the end. Be very merciful, Lord. Be very merciful unto them, I do plead, asking in thy name, Lord, of course, it must be. And do remember those in middle life, heat of the day and the burden of business, family, care, many responsibilities, the busy scenes, the vexing scenes, help each to cast their care upon. Remember younger friends going forth in life, business, study, so forth. Bring them to fear thy name, touch their hearts while young. And open thy hand and provide for each in all they need. Bless the Sunday school here, bless the dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Thou knowest each, a number, and maybe we know not. Thou hast been merciful and restored here and there, in measure. Remember one in great age, laying very weak now and poor. Have compassion. Visit her soul, visit her soul. So we pray for each. All in affliction, pain, suffering. Grant restoring mercies. But may these things be sanctified unto us each, for our soul's good. Remember Zion, bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. Remember thy servant this evening at Horim, and bless him and grant a word in season. Remember the editors of our denominational magazine, secretaries of our charitable societies. Bless them in their labours. Return in power in the ministry. Bless the ministry here in this house of prayer. Remember thy one church through this land, the spiritual Israel, and through the earth. The missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Thy people in deprivation and poverty and persecution and war and genocide. Make ways of escape. Remember us in the nation. Have mercy on England. O Lord, confusion reigns in our land. O Lord, do raise up deliverers. Raise up those who will blow the trumpet out of Zion. Bring us as a nation to repentance. Bless our dear Queen, undertake for us on the throne when she is gone. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, religious and civil liberties, freedom to worship. Grant us a full separation from Europe. And raise up men of integrity, wisdom and stature in the affairs of state. We humbly pray. Oh, we do acknowledge all thy mercies, Lord, that worthy of all our praise, helps by the way abundance of supply. Oh, we do acknowledge thy goodness and thy care, thy watchfulness, preservation. Lord, answers to prayer, we do acknowledge. But Lord, those spiritual mercies, oh, the throne of grace, oh, the throne of grace. What a mercy, thy gospel, thy word. The blessing of the Holy Ghost, the person of the Holy Ghost. The doors of Zion open. The hour of worship in measures of safety and peace. Lord, and spiritual friends, but above all, thyself, O thyself, thy blood, thy precious blood, thy suffering, the knowledge of thee, thy gospel word, oh, may it be life and power. Lord Jesus, be my meat and be my drink. I humbly beg, confessing my sins, pleading thy blood. Lord, we come to thee a personal disgrace. Have compassion. What a low place to come to. Have compassion. Where's the fruit? Lord, may we bring forth, as John the Baptist warned, fruits, meats for repentance. Dear Lord, remember us in mercy. We plead thy great name. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Anything we may have omitted to us, do make up in giving. Holy Spirit, come. Great God of heaven, plead the name of thy glorious one, thine only one, whom thou lovest, in whom thou hast put all things, before the throne and ask all things, in his name and for his sake. Lord Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Come. Come into our lives. Come and wash us. Come and cleanse us. Come and bless us. Come and strengthen us. Come and hold us. Come and heal us. Come and touch us. Be with us to the end of the journey. Come and bless us. Come. We would see Jesus. Come, come, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 706. Gracious God, thy children keep. Jesus, guide thy silly sheep. Fix, O fix our fickle souls. Lord, direct us, we are fools. 706.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord, who needed help, I draw your attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22 and verse 44. Luke 22, verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The grace and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, is beyond all natural comprehension and understanding. The way to know him is to be brought to need him, to need him. Have we come to chapel needing him? We have before us a very sacred, a blessed scene, Gethsemane, that moves on to the judgment hall and Herod's palace, and the council that moves on to Calvary. Dear friend, we may know so little of these things, but this is where we are saved. This is the place, the scene of the Redeemer's sojourn below. And if we are Christ's, we shall be brought to that place where we long to know something savingly, something blessedly, something sweetly concerning these great matters, deep matters. This one is now exalted above. He ever was with the Father, the begotten from the morning, before time began, deep mysteries. We may not understand the constitution of the Trinity. We cannot comprehend that, naturally speaking, how there could never be a beginning of anything. Can there be a God that had no beginning? These are deep things, deep mysteries. You know, the blessing of God, the Holy Ghost, is made known to his people through the person of his Son, Christ Jesus. Him alone. Now, you know, you may say, well, I know so little of him. Do you need him? Do you need him? You'll be brought to need him, to hear from him, to know something of him, your desire to know more of him. Concerning the context of the verse we've named, it is well known, I suppose, in the passages in Scripture to us.
And he went to the Mount of Olives, and there to Gethsemane, the garden, and where he was familiar, the place he was familiar with. And he told his disciples to tarry. He took Peter, James and John a little further, and then told them to tarry and to pray and watch. And he bowed down to the ground, and he began to pray. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. If it be possible, other apostles, write. If it be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What was this cup? This is what is bringing the agony. What is this cup? It's you, if you're his. It's your sin. It's your heart. Friend, it's those things that grieve him in the church. The pride, the independence. It is the sins that would be wrong to mention publicly. The sins of the heart, the sins of life, the sins of youth, the sins of the body, the backslidings, the forgetfulness of God, the dear Redeemer is suffering judgment, beginning to taste, beginning to drink this cup. His Father gave him to drink. Being in an agony. We read here in Luke, he that made all things, for whom are all things, says Paul in Colossians, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, the mighty one of Jacob, the mighty one of Jacob, being brought low, brought low, brought low. The mighty God brought low because of sin, his people's sin, but brought low in love. To be a partaker of their sufferings, that he might redeem them, to answer for them, that his people may be partakers of his righteousness, of his grace, of his victory, of his overcoming. Do you need an overcoming tonight? Do you need the Lord to help you? Do you want the Lord to come and strengthen you on your way? Do you need him to appear for you now and be with you to the end of the journey and in the river? You'll be brought low. The dear Redeemer is brought low. Such is the nature of sin. But there is this point, friend, that never forget it. This is a scene of unspeakable, indescribable, matchless love. A beautiful love scene to his tried people, his sorrowing people. And they want that love. His people want to feel their heart warmed, their heart opened up, the eyes of their understanding enlightened. What for? Just to look? No, no. To have an interest. To receive something personally. A crumb from Gethsemane, a crumb from Calvary. They may eat something solid. They can rest on. For eternity looms. And we in the body are still heart wandering. What will recover you? What will stop you wandering? You say trouble, affliction, trial, the Lord brings it. Not that alone, not that alone. A sanctified trial, sanctified by Christ, brought to him in your trial and your afflictions and your sorrows to be brought to the feet of the Redeemer. That we, by grace, may put him on, or he dwell in us. But oh, what a mysterious scene we have. And being in an agony. Do you know anything about soul agonies? I believe his people will know something in some measure. All according to God's sovereignty. Some deeper than others, of course. There are measures of grace. There are measures of faith. But the Lord Jesus speaks of faith as a grain of mustard seed, doesn't he? A little grace. But a little brings a desire for more from the fullness of Christ by and by as we go on. Do we know anything of agonies? Soul agony. Jacob knew it. Oh, friend, Jacob knew it. And you know what it was to agonize. You know, he had to face something. He had to face a reckoning, didn't he? You know, God was with him all that time. Blessed him at Bethel. All gracious promises laid in his heart. The Lord was with him in Laban's house. And the angels of God and so forth met him. But now there's a reckoning coming. See how the Lord stored it up. And as we get older, friend, there are reckonings coming. We can see them. Bitter remembrances. Esau's coming with 400 men. You know, dear Jacob, friend, have you got Jacob's God to turn to? Jacob's Redeemer, Jacob's Saviour. You're favoured if you have, you know. Friend, these times of tribulation, they bring us to points. What do we really know? What a mercy to be able to come to a place and discover he has spoken. And he is your Lord. And he does know you. And you've heard from him. Albeit a long time ago. It's a great mercy, you know. Tremendous mercy. Of course, this was appointed for Jacob's blessing. And if you're a pilgrim, a child of God, an heir of heaven, we say these words, children of God, don't we? They come off the lips glibly. Friend, an heir of heaven, one with Christ. Seems beyond us, doesn't it? But if you are, these trials are appointed for blessing, for salvation, for mercy, for the furtherance of the gospel, for preparation, a preparation beyond this lower world. We were talking at tea time and we mentioned about how earthbound we all are. I mean, today we've been concentrating on the earthly scenes. Hearts have been lifted up, no doubt, I'm sure they have, from some of us, if not all of us, during the day. But they're upward. But, you know, we're surrounded with our earthly scenes. This was appointed for Jacob. And so are your troubles. There appeared a man unto wrestling. You know, he knew the agonies. He was able to plead before the scene of Peniel. He was pleading as he heard the news of the Lord's promise and what he had promised him. It's a great mercy that, you know. Look at Job. Is there someone here tonight? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Well, I'm going to tell you something now. It's not a once experience. That will go on. That will go on, you know. Because love toward him brings a desire to hear from him and to know him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. You come before his seat. But look at this scene. Him, can you say this is Noah? This is the man. This is the one. This is the one I long for. This is the one I love. You know, you feel your love is cold and faint, and it gets very cold and faint, but you still love him. You still need him. You still want him. You can never say you don't love him, can you? That's a mercy, isn't it? That's a mercy. And he being in agony. What has brought this agony, friends? A fight. It's a fight. It's judgment. We read of it in the psalm. Do you know the psalm's language as it opened and right through? Do you know what it is to know with David? And a glorious prophecy of the dear Redeemer. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now you say it as a sinner realizing why you've been forsaken. But here the glorious one uttered it on the cross, knowing why he was forsaken. But he was the righteous one. He was alien to his divine person. Not that... I want to be careful here. We don't have two Christs. We have one Son of God. But we have two natures, which is a miracle in a glorious union forever. Deity cannot hide from deity. It is absolute. But it's the man. The Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David, all in one, in his people's place. Now think of the love that brought him down to this low place. He came down in love, being in an agony. He prayed more earnestly. You know, while thou so far from helping me, for the words of my roaring. Friend, he was fighting for his people. You say, whatever do you mean? What do you mean he's fighting for his people? What was he doing then? He was overcoming the enemy Satan. Suffering for sin. Being brought down for his church's sins, for his people's sins. But he was overcoming the power of temptation. To conquer temptation in his people. To conquer the reign of sin in his people that is so prevalent. And to bear their iniquities, so alien to his glorious person. Agony. Now, does this text, do you want to know something of this text? An interest here. Friend, it will work in your soul. Work in your soul. He that overcometh, says the Spirit to the seven churches in Asia. He that overcometh. How do they overcome? Through the blood of the Lamb alone. He that overcometh. By living faith. Being drawn. Drawn to Christ overcoming. But this is a scene, friend, that breaks the heart. Breaks the heart. It's a mercy. You know, or do you feel the weight of sin? See the Redeemer. Behold the Lamb of God. Bearing the weight of sin. Whose sin? The inquiry comes. Lord, is it mine? Can these things be? Are you drawn to him? Is he made precious unto you? Do you want a precious Lamb of God? Do you want to hear from... Do you want to hear his love? Friend, do you want to hear of his love to you? Friend, he may not speak a word to your soul directly of his everlasting love, but are you led to weep and behold him and your heart ravaged with love? Being in an agony. Oh, precious Jesus, how can these things be? Move these cold hearts. My shame, my guilt, the hidings, the silence of God, the silence of the dear Redeemer. But he's borne the silence. He's borne the silence. He's borne the silence of the church. The hiding of his Father's face from him. I know this is prophetic of the scenes that took place. But you know, David prayed here, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man. Do you know, we have to come down from a very high place sometimes to know something of this truth. But I am a worm and no man. Reproach of men. Despised of the people. Christ was truly despised. Truly despised. Are you one with Christ? Do you long to be? You will follow him. You will know this pathway. You will be a partaker of his suffering. He being a partaker of your sins. Paul the Apostle says, does he not? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. May know him. Him as mine. May know more of him. The fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship. Do you think you'll get that in an armchair? Sitting comfortably, reading with a glass of wine in your hand? No, no. It's in the fire. It's in the wine press. We want realities in affliction, in trial. But what a precious scene of matchless grace is before us. But you know, the dear Redeemer, he comes to this place. He brings his life, the Son of God. David not only, David does. The Son of God brings forth before his Father his whole life, his mission, as it were. You know, he said, did he not in John, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had to cry at the end, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Commit my spirit. Commit my soul. Commit my... into his Father's hand. There, in his people's place. You're having to commit your life into God's hand. You can't change it. Friend, by taking thought, you can't change anything. You can't put things right. You can't get better. You can't improve. You can't get out of the trial. To lay passive in his hand, behold him. Now this is where our strength will come through. You may not see it or know it, but it will. Do you know the agonies of sorrow? Hezekiah knew it. Job knew it. Jacob knew it. Being in an agony, behold him. Agony of soul. Let us consider this for a moment. What brings the agonies of soul if we're taught of the Lord? Utter shame. The Lord's silence. Judgments. Step by step upon us. Would it be favourable no more? How long, Lord? How long? Will thou hide thyself forever? Being in an agony. But behold, friends, the dear Redeemer. Ah, friend, if only the Lord would visit, if only the Lord would open up this, in your affliction, your care, your sorrow, your worries, and appear to you. Friend, there's the living water. There's the living water. May these blessed sufferings of the Redeemer be living water to our soul. Because here he is fighting the enemy. He's fighting your enemy. And he's going to conquer your enemy. And he's going to put away sin in you. You may feel the sin, but sin shall not have dominion over you. That's a wonderful word and a wonderful principle. It shall not have dominion over you. It may tease you. It may vex you. It may allure you. It may bring you sorrows. And it will, and it does, but it won't have dominion. You're not under the law, but under grace. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. The power of temptation. And now I know the dear Redeemer was tempted. Friend, he was truly tempted. You're tempted as a sinner. He was tempted as the righteous one. And he was tempted. Temptation had no power over him in entering in. But he was still tempted powerfully by Satan and led of Satan to the pinnacle and to the mountain and to look at the stones. In his actual hunger. But a truth that came out. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Only him shalt thou worship. Not you. Man shall not live by bread alone. But every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. He overcame. He overcame temptation. Then, as a pattern. And actually, mystically, when his people are on his soul. Friend, if you're his, God has no dimension. The Son of God has no dimension, being the second person. The church was known to him already. Given to him. You weren't given to Christ in eternity for him not to know you. Do you know the agonies? Oh, when will he come? Lord, pardon. When will I improve? You never will. When will thou visit me? When will thou wash me? When will thou come to me? Ah, oh, Christ, brought low for sin. The enemy, overcoming for his people. To drink the cup. That they might live. That life might come. Life might come from his death. From this suffering. The dear Redeemer said, did he not? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. How he committed his cause to his Father. That's the church's cause. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, Jesus supplicating, the mighty one supplicating. Friend, you say, a mystery. Was it for himself? For his church? Yes, he, in their place, one made like unto his brethren, supplicating. He whom all men come to, he who commands the blessing, he with almighty power, now in heaven glorified, here, supplicating, yielding, submitting. With strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death. There's the dear Redeemer. What a mystery. What a mystery. He had power to lay down his life. He had power to take it up again. But look at the obedience here. That's our pattern. His obedience, ours. to redeem us, that we might live, to know no sting in death. This is not theory, you know. Sting. Do you know what a sting is? A sting in your life, a sting in your conscience, a stinging worry, a stinging realization, you're ruined, utterly, utterly ruined, a stinging realization, utterly ruined. He was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. The Father brought him through, hiding his face from him, but brought him through. Glorious truths here. Mysterious. There's some here say they can't understand it, but do you love it? Friend, I want to come to that in a minute. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Friend, that's our obedience. Love. Love to him. Obedience. Friend, there's nothing like love that brings obedience. When we're children, we have to do things, don't want to do them, but we do them because we're told we've got to do them, and it'll be the cane if we don't. There's nothing like love brings blessed obedience, love to him. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, and so forth. Well, dear friend, you say to me, what is this agony? Oh, you're discovering it if you're his. You don't need me to explain it, do you? Have you been in it? It's before you. In soul trouble, under judgments, in afflictions, in trials. The experience of Psalm 22, the Lord hiding his face, although there it's the Father from the Son of God, but God hiding his face. God silent, agonies. Who can describe your agonies? Friends, you're only tasting the cup. May our soul be led humbled right down, broken, weeping, or to know something of this scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus. In what place? Well, the hymn writer says the sinner's place. Wait a minute. Friend, that's in your place if you're groaning from time to time as a sinner. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, the great worry of his people is, of all those sacred, deep, redeeming mysteries they know so little of, you know, the children of Israel, I've said this very often, and forgive me for saying it again, I might have said it here, I probably have. When they sinned and murmured and complained about the manna, there's a very terrible thing that they said, and some very terrible things we've said, and from very terrible things we've thought. Our soul loatheth this light bread, wants something a bit different. Or we remember some luxuries. This way is a narrow way. It's too hard for us. Friend, this was the bread from heaven. They lost sight of its mercy. They weren't humbled. They were proud. They were independent. They were wandering. And he sent the serpents to kill them. Remember, to kill them. And many died. And God commanded Moses to lift up that cross I believe that serpent was in the form of a cross, across the pole. Now they would look to this to be healed. Did they understand it? They did not understand it. Many of them wouldn't understand the meaning, the glory of it. Yet they looked and they were healed. This is the gospel. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is another house. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now this precious blood. Friend, do you, someone here, it seems my religion is a bloodless religion. It seems I know so little. I do not understand why God would only bless and save through blood. But I need saving. How they looked under the instruction of mercy to that serpent of brass held up. And they lived and they lived. Ran, are you breathing your prayer? Are you pleading that? I want us to stop here. Blood. Friend, what is so important here? There was a life given in the to the church through the blood. The life was in the blood given. It fell down to the ground as a token. And who sees the blood? The triad church, the triad people on earth, they cannot know and see what they want of the Saviour's precious blood. There's one thing, dear friend, I want to point out to you. There's one who sees the blood, and that is God. He sees the blood, and he hears you pleading it, even though you understand it not. He knows you need it, and he's given a life for it. And your soul will be exercised to approach the mercy seat, pleading that precious and atoning blood. You feel, it's hypocrisy for me to plead something I don't understand. Friends, you'll be lost forever if you don't plead it. You'll be brought to plead it and ask for the blessing to be opened up to your soul, the preciousness of it. On that feast of expiation, Aaron or the high priest every year went in, did he not, with a ram for a burnt offering for himself and a bullock for a sin offering for himself and a ram for a burnt offering for the people and two goats for one for a sin offering, the other as a scapegoat. But with the blood of the sin offerings, Aaron went in twice. First, into the most holy place. And he took the bullock, and then later the ram, the goat, and sprinkled the blood, what? Toward the mercy seat and upon the mercy seat. Friend, the mercy seat, where God promised to commune. Typical of Christ. And the blood sprinkled towards it. Friend, you go pleading to the throne of grace. You say, Can I use this language? Should I use this language? So, yes, plead it humbly. Ask for it to be opened up to you. Ask for its life to be given. Ask that you may be redeemed. This blood is redemption. This blood is sanctification. This is the life of Christ. And when I see the blood, no judgment must come. How can he? It's the blood of his only begotten one. One with him. He sees the blood. That blood is ever before him. In Hebrews we have it described. Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He's now entered heaven, and it says here, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh." Now, in themselves, the ashes of a heifer and this blood and so forth didn't do anything to a body, didn't make it holy. But as they looked in the obedience of doing it and looked to God, God blessed them and imparted grace to them. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciences from dead works to serve the living God?" For nearly all things by the law are purged with blood. The blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleanses from all sin, doubt it not. At the Passover, there was a whole Christ, the head, the legs, the inside, all a full Christ, and the blood was sprinkled. You know, the hymn writer says very wonderfully, "Beneath the sacred throne of God, I saw a river rise. The streams were peace and pardoning blood, descending from the skies. I stood amazed and wondered when or why this ocean rose, that wafts salvation down to men, his traitors and his foes. The sacred flood from Jesus' veins was free to take away a Mary's or Manasseh stains. Seven devils, Manasseh, named by God as one of the causes of the captivity, sent his children through the fire of sacrifice, burnt children, Jerusalem running with blood, yet in captivity he cried, was remembered, was restored. Tremendous grace, tremendous grace. Through his blood, friend, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Off my soul, the sinner sells thee. Turn thine eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee, seal thy peace or do thee good. Seek no healing but in Gilead's sovereign balm. Ah, but what do I know of it? I don't understand. The Father sees it. The Father beholds it. He's entered into heaven, a glorified body, glorified Redeemer, but with those wounds still gaping wide, as Joseph Hart says. Are you poor? Are you needy? Atonement, forgiveness, eternal life. His blood was, as it were, as his sweat. Friend, his sweat. His sweat. The agony of Christ was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Nothing but thy blood, O Jesus, can do helpless sinners good. Now, what is the point of this? Friend, are you pleading? Ask, friend, think of the words of Christ. Oh, how we fail here. Asking for this, asking for that, asking for something else, asking for all the things of this life. Ask what? Dear Lord, give me the blood of sprinkling. Open up the fountain. Do reveal thyself, Lord Jesus. Let me know something of thy suffering, my interest here. The sorrows of death compass me, Lord. Lead me to thyself. Open up the scene of Calvary. Oh, behold the Lamb of God, now the exalted one, now reigning in heaven. Friend, it is these scenes where the church is redeemed. This is where you're saved. This is where the church is saved. You want it opened up. You need it. No, plead it then. Plead it. You may not understand this, but this is where God was reconciled to you. Can he look on you alone? He cannot look on you as you are, but with anger. Behold the Lamb of God. Are you hiding here? Are you sheltering here? Are you pleading here? Name him. Name his blood. Name his dying. Name his overcoming. Name him the put away of sin. Name his resurrection. Name the name of Jesus. Pleading this matchless scene for your life. Because here you were redeemed. You weren't redeemed anywhere else. You're not redeemed because the Lord comes and visits you. He comes and visits you because you're redeemed. That's why. Oh, dear friend. We want the Lord Jesus Christ, the living God. But where does the blessing come from? The travail of soul. The offering forever. Laying down his life for his friends. Propitiation. Forgiveness, reconciliation through the sacrifice for sin. But you have an experience. You'll drink the cup. You will know what it is yourself to enter into some of these agonies. But your blood has and sorrow has no availing except in the name and merits of Jesus. All your prayers, what do they mean? Friend, without the name, without the person of the Lord Jesus brought near to you to be seen even afar off, from the edge of the camp, as it were, to look and to live, to name him before the throne and plead his merit and his name. His blood was, as it were, great drops of blood. It's great drops of blood. Falling down to the ground. Friend, oh, I feel to know so little of this. It's a mercy to know a little, I can tell you. But then you may say, well, I believe I know a little. But if anything like me, and I'm not boasting, far from it, is this the fruit? Where have I got to? Look at my pilgrimage. Look at my forgetfulness. What effect has it had upon me? Friend, it brings you down to need him, to humble ourselves, to lay before him, pour out our soul unto him, that I might know him. This is the life given. This is where sin is put away, in his death. Poured out his soul unto death. You know, the children of Israel were inside the houses at the night of the Passover, and the blood was on the outside and they couldn't see it, but they hid there by faith, by obedience. You know so little, yet by prayer, by earnestness, by agonies of soul, there you would hide in obedience. Under the gospel, under the words. We're redeemed by that blood. But Jesus said, did he not to his 12 or 11? Now ye clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. See, that's where the gospel comes. You cannot see it coming from Calvary, from Gethsemane. But that's where God will speak. Because of that, he speaks from heaven. His Son is now glorified in heaven. And the Father sends the blessing down. The Son sends the blessing down. Holy Spirit brings the blessing down. Holy Spirit within you receives the blessing and applies it. Because of Calvary. Because of Gethsemane. Because your names are written on his heart. Friend, and if we are one with him, if we are to be with him, then you will have the desire given you that these scenes of matchless grace, as Gatsby says, is opened up to us, made precious unto us. How you long, your soul longs for a little glimpse of Jesus in your place. You might live. Friend, you would live. Your soul would rise up. Little passing glimpse aside of the dear Redeemer, or to hear his voice. In that certainty, friend, you're redeemed there. Therefore, if you're a living soul, that's the foundation of your blessing and your hope. Were it not for Calvary, you could never hear the Redeemer's voice. Were it not for Gethsemane, he could never bless you. But he does, because he put away your sin, chosen in him, in his purity, in his holiness, in his righteousness. And you live through him now, through his name, through his grace, through his power, his overcoming. Friend, he overcame sin for the church, for his people, overcame temptation. Friend, and in the agony, to drink that cup was beyond, the dear Redeemer trembling. So terrible was it. That's a deep mystery. But he did overcome. His righteousness sustained him. He's the Son of God. But now, well, all I can leave it is with you now. Friend, plead the blood of Jesus humbly, tenderly. Tell the Lord. It honours him and glorifies him. Admit your ignorance. Tell him your poverty. Confess it. Weep. Lord Jesus, reveal thyself. Show thyself. Let me hear from thee. Lord, is my interest here? Didst thou give thy life a ransom for me? Tell him all. Friend, you'll have a few agonies at times. But remember him. Friend, he agonized. He agonized for poor sinners. He agonized for his people. Did he agonize for me? Friend, you'll be brought here. May we be brought here. May we be brought here. And may we plead those things we may not understand. As the children of Israel were dying in the desert, they looked to that brazen serpent, lifted up. Could not understand the meaning of it. But they were dying, and they lived, and they knew they lived. I have to leave the words. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Fred Ince next Tuesday evening. And there will be a prayer meeting for church members this Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 571. Behold with wondering eyes the servant of the Lord. On wings of love he flies, his counsels to unfold. He comes with truth and grace, and Zion shall behold his face. 571.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.